Let's take our Bibles again and turn with me to the book of Proverbs, chapter 14. Proverbs 14. This morning, I'd like to look at verses 3 to 7, just continuing in the study of this precious book. The book of wisdom. And I do pray this morning that the Lord be pleased to teach us, to bless, comfort. I was talking to Gabe last night, and he said he heard Brother Henry Mahan make a statement. He said, when you find a passage of Scripture, and he said that passage of Scripture could be viewed, you know, a couple of different ways. He said, look for the one that is most honoring to Christ. And he said, go with it. I thought that's good advice. We never go wrong when we see Him do it. Proverbs 14. Our Lord had given a precious promise to His people concerning how they would be taught of Him. And here's the thing I know. Now, He who spoke, as we said this morning, everything into existence, who upholds all things by the word of His power, Him by whom all things consist, is held together this time. He rules. Now, He who spoke everything, sustains everything, rules heaven, inhabitants of the earth. He has chosen to speak to His people, to action speak to His people by preachers. If we preach what He says, the Apostle Paul says, we preach unto you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. I mean, this, the ministry of preaching. Oh my. What a miracle of God's grace that God would send a preacher. That is the means. He said in Jeremiah 3:15, I will give you pastors according to mine heart, which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding. Now if I realize, if I'm preaching according to His word, blessed by His Spirit, this is God talking. So as I stand here, I stand realizing something of the seriousness of what's going on. This is serious business. That God would speak. Lord, I don't want to be presumptuous. I just want to be honest. This is God's word. And Almighty God has called a preacher. Now, if He's called me to preach, I have one message. It is the message of the glory of Almighty God and the redemption of His people. And as I come this morning, according to His word and His command, He said this, comfort ye. my people, saith your God, speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem. Listen, to their heart. And I realize I can't speak to the heart. The Spirit of God must bless it. And I ask, Lord, bless this word. Lord, what do you have to say? Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem and cry unto her, her warfare is accomplished. Isn't that good news? That's just good news. Your warfare is accomplished. It's finished. It's finished. It's over. By a new and living way. We looked at that last week. I'll pick up Fort William right there. Wednesday. By a new and living way. A new and living way. Do you know what that word new means? Freshly slain. Fresh slain. Freshly slain. Here, Almighty God sets forth as His people come this morning. The blood of the Lord Jesus Christ is ever new, ever fresh, ever crying, it's finished, it's finished. Those precious words that ring through heaven, finished, finished. You tell them their warfare's accomplished. That her iniquities pardoned, and she hath received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins. As I've said, that word double, it means the adequate sufficiency. That's what it means. She's received what was due. God provided. You comfort her. Now the verses that we're going to deal with this morning, this being God's Word, the Spirit of God penned through the hand of a man, Solomon, penned these words. And these words from wisdom himself are for us this morning. And what these words set forth, as best I can perceive, having looked at, prayed, asked, Lord, would you teach me something about this? These words set forth the difference between a pastor that is called of God and one that hasn't been. It amazes me how much is said. When you go back, you look in those latter epistles, how many warnings were given. Not only from the Lord when He was on this earth, but also the warnings that were given by God's Spirit through the Lord's apostles. And they penned those epistles, warning, warning, warning. Be careful. Try your spirit. Try what you're hearing. If it's not according to this word, be careful, be careful, be careful. This morning, we come. It matters what you hear. It absolutely matters what you hear. Mark 4:24, and he said unto them, take heed what you hear. With what measure you meet, it shall be measured to you. That is, hearkening to the light that has been given, hearkening to it, attending to it, making much of it. More light will be given. And unto you that hear, shall more be given. Oh, Lord, give me ears to hear. Give me a heart to understand. And Lord, keep that which you've taught me. Bring that back to my memory. Lord, I need to be reminded. Cause me to muse upon these things. 1 Timothy 4:16, take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. continue in them. For in doing this, thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. Take heed. Take heed. Yes, sir, it matters what you hear. It matters. Hearing a message of salvation preached, I have this question. Am I hearing the Christ of God being preached, or am I hearing another Jesus? Listen to what men say. Listen to what men say. 2 Corinthians 11:4, for if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if you receive another spirit which we've not received, or another gospel which you've not accepted, you might well bear with him. Now in that, in the margin of that, that's in 2 Corinthians 11:4. Paul says you might bear with him. Actually, in the margin it says with me. And here's what he just said. If you hear another gospel, another Jesus, another message that is more consistent with the Holy Scriptures, Paul said, than what we've preached to you. If you hear a message that lines up more, lines up with these Scriptures, then you've got good reason to stand against what I preach. That's what he said. But if you don't, and you're going to have to consider somebody's lying. How do you know the difference? That's what we're going to deal with today. How do you know the difference? Proverbs 14:3 says, in the mouth of the foolish is a rod of pride, but the lips of the wise shall preserve them. In the mouth, in the speech of the foolish, in the language, in the message of the foolish, unregenerated messenger, is a rod of pride. Now that word rod, right there, it's only used one other time in all of Scripture. That word right there is found two times in God's Word. And the word right here, rod, means a twig. A twig. And this word right here is found in the other place. It's found in Isaiah 11:1. It says, and there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. From the reign of David and Solomon, during that period of time, there was great blessing. God Almighty blessed during the reign of David and Solomon. But from the captivity of Babylon to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, the tribe of Judah was like a tree cut down. It was just dry. Just, it was like a stump. Just cut the tree down. Just a stump, that's it. There's the tribe of Judah right there. What is it? Well, it's just a stump now. It's all that's left. But the Scripture says, in due season, from that which appeared to be gone, just a stump, cut off, a twig came out of that stump, a rod, a twig. And that's what it's talking about when it says, and there shall come forth a rod, a twig, out of the stem, out of the stump of Jesse. And a branch shall grow out of his roots. That rod of Jesse, that twig, that right there with the Lord Jesus Christ. Lowly. There was nothing about him. There was no comeliness about him that we would desire him. This is he. This is the one. This is the Savior of sinners. The Redeemer of God's elect. The hope of salvation. To helpless, hopeless creatures of the death, of the dust. This is it. This. In him is salvation alone. Now the Scripture sets forth in this passage we're looking at, in the mouth of the foolish is a rod, a stem of pride. They're preaching a Jesus that gives man all the responsibility. A Jesus that wants to do something but can't do it. Pride, one that instills pride in men. I'm telling you, another Jesus is one that men are saying he wants to do something if you will let him. That's the foolish. Mouth of the foolish. It's a stem. It's a root. It's a twig that does nothing but puff men up. He died to make it possible. If you'll give him your heart, it's all about you, Jeff. It's all about you. The foolish, the mouth of the foolish preaches a Jesus like another Jesus, Paul said. The mouth of the foolish. One that promotes pride within man, because that Jesus is helpless. He needs almighty men to do for him what he can't do. It's one that gives men a pat on the back and says that you're self-righteous. Acts. It was your decision. It was your work. It was your coming. That was the reason, God. But the lips of the wise shall preserve them. The language, the message of the wise-hearted shall guard, hedge about, set forth Christ only. Those that are made wise into salvation, set forth the preserver of the sheep, the root of Jesse, he who comes forth according to promise, the keeper of all of them given him and electing grace. Christ is the rod of Jesse, the root out of dry ground, the Word made flesh, who alone is life. In whom is life? Does the Savior, I'll say it like this, does the Savior that you trust in, is the glory to you, or to you and Him together? Is it Him trying to do, or is it grace? Grace. Grace. Not of works, lest any man should boast. For the Lord is pleased to bless His Word. He sends forth a faithful messenger. The mouth of the foolish is a rod of pride, a twig of pride. The lips of the wise shall preserve them. Verse 4. Where no oxen are, the crib is clean. But much increase is by the strength of the ox. The word oxen there. Here again, when you look at the wording, find out what's the wording mean. What's it mean? The word there, oxen, means yoking. Yoking. Y-O-K-I-N-G. Yoking. Where there's no yoking. The crib, the place of feeding, is clean. That means empty. That's what the word is. It's empty. But much increase, much gain is by the strength, the means, the mouthpiece, the instrument of, the messenger of the ox. Here are these ox, the yoking. Those that are yoked to Christ, preach Christ. Where there's no yoking to Christ, there's no setting forth of Christ. Where there's no pastor sent of God to preach Him, bound to Him, kept by Him, taught by Him, led by Him, sustained by Him, fed by Him, where there's no oxen, yoking, take my yoke upon you. Learn of me. We walk with Him. He's the Lord. He's the Master. Where no oxen are, the crib, the place of feeding, is empty. There's nothing there. There's nothing to hear that honors Him. Oh, there's plenty to hear that honors men. Gives men glory. But much increase, much gain is by the strength, by the means of the ox. When God sends a pastor, where God gives a pastor a heart for Christ, a heart for His Word, a heart to study, a heart to ask, a heart to seek, a heart to preach, where the Lord is pleased to sustain that which God has started. He that hath begun a good work in you will perform it to the day of salvation. I've told you this before. It used to just absolutely amaze me that men would ask me, you're telling me that you go to a study every day to just study? Whew, I don't know if I could do that. You could, if God gave you a heart to do it. If you wanted to do it. You husbands, do you want to go home every day? You want to go home and be with your wife every day? Do you? Your wife, you want to go home and be with your husband? Do you want to? Why? Because I want to. I love her. I love him. I want to be. I want to. I have a desire for that. Why? Yoke with them. One with them. The love for my husband, my wife. I want to be, spend some time with my kids. Oh, but for a believer. For Almighty God is pleased to send His Word. Or how are you going to speak? I'll give you pastors. According to my heart, you see. They'll feed you. Knowledge. Understanding. They'll teach you. Why? Because I'll give them a heart to study, to ask, to seek me, and I'll bless the Word. Lord, is that so? Yeah. But where there's no oxen, no yoking, crib, place of feeding, empty, but much increase by the strength of the ox. But I'll tell you this, those that preach the gospel, if the Lord blesses that message and blesses it to the hearing and comfort of His people, I'm telling you, there's no glorying in those workmen. Not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but unto Thy name give glory for Thy mercy, for Thy truth's sake. I pretty well bet that most men stand in the pulpit and they'll study and they'll prepare and they'll seek and they'll ask and they'll ask and they'll ask. And they'll stand and they'll preach, and when they step out of that pulpit, They'll second guess themselves. I don't know how many times I've asked Linda, did that come out all right? Did I preach that? I thought I was the only one that ever did that. And I heard Brother Henry ask Doris one day, honey, did that come out okay? And I thought, I guess I'm not the only one. God's preachers, they're just a yoke to Christ. They're workmen. They're work. Needed not to be ashamed, but rightly divine the word of truth. Verse 5, a faithful witness will not lie. But a false witness will utter lies. Men called of God, kept by God, mouth is kept, and they, by the grace of God, cannot be induced, can't be persuaded to lie on God. They can't. Acts 4:20. Scripture says, for we cannot but speak the things which we've seen and heard. For me to be able to stand here right now and to renounce sovereign grace, sovereign, saving, glorious grace, and set forth Arminianism, free willism, works religion, self-righteous religion, oh, it'd be a stench. Number one, in my mouth, a stench in your ears, in your heart. I know better than that. God's taught me. No, I know that's not so. A faithful witness will not lie on God. He will not lie on God. He won't. Judas Iscariot. He was a false witness who claimed for a while to be a follower of Christ, but for 30 pieces of silver, sold his Lord out. Those that walk away, it's obvious that they were never His in grace, in mercy, in compassion. Those that stay are kept by the power of God through faith. And they'll be the first to admit, that was not of myself. I don't have anything to boast in. We're just unprofitable servants. What does that mean? That means we have not added one bit to His glory by preaching. We're unprofitable. We have added nothing to Him. It's by His grace that He's kept us. Verse 6, a scorner seeketh wisdom and findeth it not. But knowledge is easy unto him that understandeth. A scorner, one that mocks the message of Christ. Now, when I say mocks the message of Christ, I'm talking about mocking the message of free grace. You know, there may be some that never outwardly say it, but if they will not hear and will not come and will not bow, what they're saying is, in their heart, I'm not going to have that man to rule over me. The Lord said, I'll judge you according to your words. That's found in Luke 19. A parable. The Lord gave a parable. There were some that said, we'll not have that man rule over us. And it said, the Lord told him, He said, I'm going to judge you according to your word. I'll not have that man rule over me. Time will tell. Eternity will tell. A scorner seeketh wisdom and findeth it not. A scorner, hearing sovereign grace, free grace, one that is absolutely mocking the message of wisdom himself. He says, I'm seeking wisdom. He says, I'm seeking Christ. He says, I'm seeking salvation. When I die, I'm as sure for heaven. And when I hear people that's never said under the gospel, and I know this is the message that God blesses. I know it is. He said it was. This message, if any man preach any of the gospel, then that which you preach, let it be accursed. Paul says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of God, gospel of Christ. It's the power of God unto salvation. Therein is the righteousness of God revealed. And I hear people say that never sinned. And they say, I know my departed one is in a better place. I'm going to see him again. I'm going to be there. Really? A scorner. Always seeking out a way according to man's ability, man's honor, man's glory. But there's one way. I am the way. I'm the truth. I'm the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And nothing added to him. Scripture says, a scorner seeketh wisdom and findeth it not, but knowledge is easy. Easy unto him that understandeth. The word easy. I mean, when you first read that, you think, well, that's the word means swift, plain, made bright unto him that the Lord's given understanding. Knowledge is bright. It's swift. By the Spirit of God given a man understanding. It's swift unto him that understands. It matters what we hear. That message that makes salvation to be complete by man's works and man's ability is a rod of pride. It's a false gospel. It's spoken by a false witness that's going to utter lies. But in closing, let me ask you this. What should one do if the Lord has made a person wise unto salvation? If Almighty God has given a man and woman a heart for Christ, for the message of the gospel, what do you do? In closing, here's the last verse, verse 7. Go from the presence of a foolish man when thou perceivest not in him the lips of knowledge. Yeah. Pretty plain. Pretty plain. What do you do? Don't hear them. Don't hear them. Don't hear them. One that's going to preach another Jesus, preach another gospel, preach another way, foolish, man-centered, God dishonoring, God despising. What do you do? Proverbs 9:6, forsake foolishness and live and go in the way of understanding. Lord, bless the preaching of your gospel. Lord, bless it. Lord, bless that which you've sent. Lord, it's your word. Lord, bless to our hearing. Bless to our comfort. Bless it to our peace. Lord, save your people. Lord, call your own out of darkness. Have thine own way, Lord. Have your way. Not unto us, Lord, but unto you. All honor, glory, Christ's name. Amen.